You might need to clear your internet history after watching this video. This is The Daniel Natale Show. A poster on my last video apparently disagreed with my reference to certain philosophers and wrote, "Blaise Pascal was a Jesuit, trained by Jesuit Descartes. Your video is extremely suspicious." While I'm not an agent of the Jesuits, I actually was interested in certain things that I'd been seeing about the subject. I refer to a book on the Age of Enlightenment that I'd been reading, and it mentioned that most of the Enlightenment concepts that we take for granted were originated by Jesuit thinkers. Most of the icons of the period were educated by the Jesuits. In Considerations on Representative Government, John Stuart Mill writes, "The leaders of French philosophy in the 18th century had been educated by the Jesuits." I was studying a 17th century Dutch legal scholar named Hugo Grotius, and he's famous for articulating things like rights come from God and not from governments. But Grotius got these concepts from a Spanish Jesuit priest named Francisco Suarez. So a lot of the ideological inheritance that we have today originates from these sources. The bad part, of course, is that the Jesuits were basically like an early intelligence agency for the Catholic Church. They would spy, plot, and if need be, subvert other countries, which is why Japan kicked them out in the 1600s.
Now again, we now turn to Japan, and the first Portuguese ship blew into Nagasaki, and it was actually a storm blew them in, and they had Jesuits on board, and otherwise it wouldn't have been for the storm, it would have blown in. It was really kind of a bizarre story, but then the Jesuits made a very big stronghold in Nagasaki. Then they also made another one north of there in Hiroshima. And then the Japanese monarchy and the Buddhists realized after about four generations of what was going on, and that they were using this as a political means, not as, you know, that's where, again, is they weren't trying to get more people into Sunday mass. That wasn't that was not at all.
That's right.
That was not the goal whatsoever. That was like a secondary type of thing. So the whole thing was political. And they superficially kicked out the Jesuits. They killed a bunch of them. But sure, there was so much influence already at the time, it was already too late.
What's of interest here is how subsequent intelligence agencies patterned themselves off of the Jesuit order. James Corbett mentions it when he talks about the Cecil Rhodes plot in the late 19th century to reconstitute the British Empire and reabsorb America. See here.
Their plan reads like outlandish historical fiction. They will form a secret organization dedicated to the extension of British rule throughout the world and the ultimate recovery of the United States of America as an integral part of a British empire. The group is to be structured along the lines of a religious brotherhood. The Jesuit order is repeatedly invoked as a model, divided into two circles. An inner circle, called the Society of the Elect, who are to direct the activity of the larger outer circle, dubbed the Association of Helpers, who are not to know of the inner circle's existence.
If you want to learn more about this highly influential and highly successful plot, read historian Carol Quigley's The Tragedy and the Hope. This group, led by the aforementioned Cecil Rhodes, decided to copy the Jesuit method and mull into Commonwealth countries and subvert them from within. They would create what they called roundtable groups to promote legislation in each of the target countries that was designed to surrender sovereignty to what they called globalism, but which was really just a euphemism for the old British power grid. They placed roundtable groups in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. The roundtable group in the United States was called the Council on Foreign Relations. From there, they would recruit a country's best and brightest and spirit them to London to teach them about the wonders of globalism, especially focusing on promising young college students under the Rhodes Scholarship Plan. Bill Clinton was one of these recruits, as was Senator Cory Booker and MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. Before getting too far into the weeds of what the Rhodes Group did, it's interesting to see how they did it, what methodology they used, and yes, it was the Jesuit setup. It provided a template to mold into a society and subvert it from within. A hotbed for these organizations was always college campuses. The CIA is known to recruit from Yale, for instance, or England's MI6 from Oxford. This goes back centuries to the old German university system, where secret societies, also founded on the Jesuit template, became what we today know as fraternities. From out of this system came things like Christian Rosenkreuz's Illuminati, Moses Mendelssohn's Berlin Wednesday Night Society, Johann Pestalozzi's Helvetian Society, and many, many others. These fraternities and secret societies morphed into today's intelligence agencies. The Central Intelligence Agency in our country was sold to us as a way to fight the Soviets. Okay, the Soviets are gone. Are the CIA going to disband? Of course not, because they were never installed in the first place to fight the USSR. They were just an adjunct of the Cecil Rhodes Group, a sort of secret police of the globalists, and all it required was one crisis, namely World War II, to bypass our Constitution. 1 month after John F. Kennedy was assassinated, Harry Truman, who authorized their installation, wrote an op-ed saying that had he known that they would be an American Gestapo, he would have never issued the executive order bringing them into being. In Victor Ostrovsky's book, By Way of Deception, Ostrovsky, a former Mossad member, writes about how Mossad runs Israel and not its official government. He says that the same thing is true in the United States with the CIA in control. In England, it's MI6 that's the true power in that country. So what happened was that our lawful governments were subverted and intelligence agencies, based on the old Jesuit template, took over. Leaving aside questions of how to dislodge them, it's just interesting seeing how secret societies never really disappeared. They just acquired state sanction. Of course, republics require transparency, something these organizations resist. They rely on secrecy, opaqueness, lack of accountability. So while in the past, the secrecy they enjoyed was external, today they're out in the open, but their secrecy is now internal. We know they exist, and we know what model they're built on, but we're not allowed to know what they're doing, or for whose interests they operate.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
If you like this video, you'll love the New American Magazine. You can buy a subscription or donate to help more videos like this get made. Think of it as your own electronic swear jar. Every time you slip and lose your temper, you put a quarter in the metaphorical jar. After so many salty outbursts over the course of a month, well, there's your subscription. And for the price of a cup of coffee, you can help little Danielito get a well for his village.